false assurance. And that's worse, perhaps, than no assurance at all. A false hope may be worse than no hope at all. There are people today, I know some of them personally, who base their knowledge of their salvation almost entirely on their feelings. Oh, I just know in my heart, I just feel that I am saved. One day particularly, I was talking to a friend, and the friend made that statement, and I said, "You said you feel in your heart that you are saved. Would you point to the heart you're talking about?" And this lady would start to point here, and then she'd stop. I suppose beginning to realize that there is no feeling in this heart that has one thing to do with salvation, except it keeps the blood pumping in our bodies where we can learn God's will and know what to do to be saved. And one proof of that is to recognize that if this is the seat of religion, there are people living today who have somebody else's religion in their chest. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Just to say, "Well, I feel good about it, I feel that I'm okay," is not enough. Now, I would not diminish the importance of feelings whatsoever. In fact, I believe we need to feel good about our salvation. But not base our knowledge of salvation and knowing that our Redeemer lives on feelings alone. And it's not enough just to have somebody else tell me that I'm okay. In 2 Timothy 4, there were those who were going away from the truth, and they would have itching ears, heaping to themselves teachers who would teach perverse things. What were those teachers doing? Telling those people what they wanted to hear. Scratching their itching ears, if you please. And today, I suppose you could find somebody who would tell you that you are okay no matter what your circumstances. Even some who believe in universal salvation. Read just a day or two ago, I think I even shared one of these statements with you from the pulpit in the last week or two, where someone said, "There is no such thing as sin. There is no such thing as right or wrong. Don't even think about being lost. Nobody's going to be lost." There are people that will tell us anything we want to hear. Oh, words of encouragement are important, and I certainly value what other people say to me about the Word of God and what they might say to me about my knowledge of my relationship to Christ, but that alone is not enough. Neither do traditions prove that we are Christians and saved. And let me slow down just a bit here to sound a word that I think needs to be said. It may be that far too many of us are living on an inherited faith, doing what we're doing just because our parents did, or that's the way we always did it when we were growing up, and have never stopped to really study for ourselves what a true Christian is, and if I am a true Christian living for Jesus Christ. Tradition can bring about vain worship. Mark 7:7-9, and just to claim that we are saved. In fact, just to sell ourselves on the idea without the right kind of proof and encouragement in the right way does not necessarily mean that we are saved. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Matthew 7:21. Go on. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" And Jesus said, "I'll say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." What? They thought they were in his name. They thought they were prophesying or teaching in his name. They thought they were doing wonderful works. He called them works of iniquity because he said, "I never knew you." And folks, we certainly cannot know that we are saved by adding up a tremendous number of works of merit. Yes, there is something that we have to do to accept that which is offered by the grace of God. Obedience is necessary. But if we could earn our salvation, it would not be by the grace of God. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Ephesians 2:8-9. "Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Yes, there's something for us to do, but not works of merit. And when you and I get through tonight, having lived this day, just to sit down with a checklist and say, I've done this many things, I've been good today, I've done a lot for the Lord, therefore my soul is okay, is not the way we answer the question. Obedience, yes. Service, yes. Something for us to do, yes. Saved by the grace of God only, no. But we don't know that we are saved by adding up our works of merit. Now, I have said, based upon the Word of God, we need to know, we can know, and yet there are some ways that we do not know. How can we know that we are saved? How can everyone in this building tonight who's a Christian go home and go to bed in the peace that passeth all understanding, Philippians 4, verse 7? How can we know? And by the way, if you're not a Christian, there's no way that you can know in that condition. Let me share with you about five or six passages of Scripture by the pen of the Apostle John. I start with one in the Gospel according to John and then go to 1 John. And the reason I start with the one in John 13:35 is that I hear this one quoted most often in showing how we can know that we are Christians. And the mistake that is made is sometimes it is the only verse that is quoted and may leave the wrong impression. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Somebody reads that verse and says, you see, if we have love for each other, that proves that we are Christians. In 1 John 3, verse 14, about the same thing. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brothers, the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. What a wonderful point. What a necessary point. What an important point. That involved in knowing that we are Christians, we are to love the brothers. And other verses, especially in 1 John, would say, if you don't love the brethren, you can pretty well know that you're not right with God. 4:20, if you don't love your brother whom you've seen, you cannot love God whom you've not seen. But in this same book, a book which I believe uses the word know or known or some form of that over 30 times, back up to the second chapter, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Back to the third chapter, verse 24. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hereby we know, if we keep his commandments, that which is written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. Back to the third chapter, beginning with verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now notice the connection. We know by the love that we have. We know by what God has said in his word. Here he connects it. How dwelleth the love of God in him if he doesn't have compassion for his brethren? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall, watch it, assure our hearts before Him. We love the brethren. We know we're Christians. We keep His commandments. We know we're Christians. If we serve our fellow man in deed and truth, we can know if we are Christians. Those last six passages, I believe, that I read from John and 1 John are summed up in three words that begin with the letter A: attitude, authority, and action. How can we know that we are Christians? How can we know that if something were to happen to us tonight before we see the light of another day, that heaven will be our home? By the attitude of love, by the authority of His written word, and by our actions of service in a Christian life. Does that mean that you and I can know tonight that we're perfect? No. Far from it. Does that mean that we can know that we won't make any mistakes? No. I'll guarantee you we will. But that authority of this word teaches you and me that if we obey His gospel, believe in Jesus as the Son of God, that was in one of the verses, repent of our sins, confess our faith in Him, buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins, and then become in contact with that continuing power of that forgiveness in His blood, and live each day as penitent, humble people, doing what we can reasonably do in His service, Romans 12:1. We can know, if we have that attitude of love, that authority of the Scripture, and that action of Christian service, that whatever happens, even as indicated in Matthew 10:28, if somebody takes the life from this body, that there is nothing that can separate us from that promise that Jesus made and said He would come again and receive ourselves. That's not placing our assurance and our hope in some attitude of our own. It's placing it in the blessed promise of Jesus Christ. And if Christian people can't have that promise, who can? Do you know that you are saved tonight? If you are a Christian living with the right attitude according to His word, you can know that. If you're not, you can know that you're not saved. And if you know that there is something less than the best in your relationship with Jesus Christ, you ought to do something about it tonight. Be baptized for the remission of all past sins and have that relationship with Christ that will continue to take care of you. And if you've not had the right attitude as a Christian, you've gone astray and you haven't been living as that penitent, humble Christian that you should, and you need forgiveness, it's in a private way. Take care of it between you and God. But if it involves others' knowledge or if there's any doubt, take care of it in a way that you can leave this building tonight knowing that you're a Christian and that heaven will be your home. If you can't, perhaps you need to come as together we stand and sing.